You are listening to the JS Online and Packers News Packers Podcast, brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino and Hotel. The World Series of Poker Circuit comes to Pottawatomie January 31st through February 11th. Play for a guaranteed prize pool of $750,000. More at paysbig.com/WSOP. Hey everyone, welcome to the JS Online and Packers News Packers Podcast. I am Tom Silverstein and I'm here with Jim Osarski, both of the Journal Sentinel. And we don't have anything to talk about again today. No. It's all been right. Wrapped up and we might as well just take it home.
Quite a week.
It was a wild week.
It was. It was. I mean, obviously, we were with you. You were with us. Thank you very much. Sunday night when, you know, the game mattered to the degree that the head coach was fired. And yeah. It's been, since then, the associate head coach has been fired.
Mm-hmm.
And then the former head coach came back and everybody loved it.
Right.
And now he's gone again. It's been a strange few days.
And it's the end of the week, and who knows if the firings are done. You know, you never know how this can go. But seriously, it has been one of the more unusual weeks I can remember. It's the first time I've covered a team where a coach was fired in season, and especially with four games to go, it really makes this next month bizarre because they're not technically out of the playoffs. They don't really have a head coach. And we don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 weeks.
Right, yeah. And you're right, it would be something to finish 8-7-1 and somehow some weird math falls your way.
Not out of the question. I looked it up.
It's not out of the. Oh, could you believe that?
Oh God.
Tom. This week has a lot of intrigue, and I guess there's several points to hit. I guess I'd start with Joe Philbin and him, saying, "Hey, I haven't called plays since I was a college coordinator in 1996."
Yeah.
And I think that's important to note because he's been an offensive coordinator. He's been in these meeting rooms, but that's a change, you know, to go from the box to the sideline to be the guy saying things, Aaron Rodgers, and really this move, you would think, has been all about offense or the lack thereof and relationships and what's going to be called.
This is his audition for the head coaching job. There's no question about it. And I like Joe Philbin, and I think he's a good coach, but I get the sense that they want a clean house and get the new culture, through here. Just get a different culture, not with someone who's connected. I could be wrong, but that's the sense I got when Gutekunst and Murphy spoke to us on Monday.
Yeah, it was the sense I got, too. But I think it... I guess we'll see what happens over the next 4 weeks. But what's curious, though, is, Philbin didn't waste time in sort of putting his stamp on what, at least the things he could do differently, which is firing Winston Moss on Tuesday, which is changing practice schedules. And from Thursday, you're seeing physical one-on-one contact between linemen and receivers and DBs, and Ron Zook intimated on Thursday that Philbin wanted to practice Friday. Now, whether or not that happens, but at least the idea of changing some things up. So, we'll see how it goes. But for a guy who hasn't come out and said, I want the job, put his hand on the table, he's at least doing some things differently to try to give himself a shot.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, and he can force himself into the discussion with a 4-0 finish, and, he could really force the issue by taking them to the playoffs and doing something in the playoffs. But, you know, that's not probably not going to happen. And he's going to just have to do his best. He's auditioning for the Packers, but he's auditioning for others too. I mean, he may, who knows, there might be another head coaching job in his future, but he may be looking for a job somewhere else. So calling plays.
Yeah, exactly.
So it will be interesting to see how the offense moves. So let's kind of go through the timeline of the week. McCarthy gets fired on Sunday, and we haven't talked to you since then. Monday, Mark Murphy comes out with Brian Gutekunst and tells us that the structure is going to remain the same. He will be pick the coach. And I thought he, I don't know if it was at me, but, you know, he sort of took little shots at people questioning their structure. And, I've been on the record of saying it's really dumb that Gutekunst should be the one picking the coach. So that's how the week started. What did you take from that press conference?
Yeah, you're right. I guess I wasn't surprised that Mark Murphy would double down. And I mean, why announce that in January, give yourself sort of full rein to blow out the coach, and then when you finally do it, say, okay, now I don't want to hire the new guy. Yeah. So on one hand, that wasn't surprising. I guess I was a little surprised that Brian Gutekunst was even there to a degree. Mm-hmm. I mean, it helped, I guess, that the optics were good, unified front. You know, said Brian's going to be part of the interview process while also telling everyone that Aaron Rodgers won't be. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought what was interesting, Tom, was – you know, Mark Murphy kind of going on the defensive about that structure and just sort of saying, I'm not all about sledding hills and buying homes. You know, I've hired coaches as an AD and, you know, I played the game and been on both sides of the table in terms of, you know, the union and now on this side. So, you know, for all the things he's done with Title Town and whatnot, I mean, at the end of the day, it's still the Green Bay Packers as a football team. And I mean, I'm sure he's well aware this could be the flag. Mm-hmm. You know, if this is a Chip Kelly, Mark Trussman, Ray Rhodes disaster, you know, Title Town will kind of be one of those nice little fuzzy things mentioned, you know, in graph three of the Mark Murphy era in Green Bay.
Yeah, this is a vital, vital decision that he's going to make. And, of course, the fan base doesn't want to waste Aaron Rodgers' remaining years. I think the biggest thing that needs to be remembered is that this new guy is got to be – I think he needs to have some experience if they're going to take advantage of what's left on the roster and try to win right away. And by experienced, I mean NFL experience. I know college coaches have been brought up. And it's always a possibility, but how difficult it is to transition that quickly from college to pros, I think it's really hard.
Yeah, the history in this league isn't very good. I mean, Chip Kelly, you know, did go to the playoffs, as Packers fans know, that first year, had a decent team, and then it was just a disaster. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that guy isn't going to have personnel control, which maybe would help the cause, I guess. But no, I agree. I think you need someone who's been in the league and kind of knows, you know, whether through their trees, whatever their path was to, you know, head coach of the Green Bay Packers. You know, somewhere in there, you'd like to think they know how to call plays, they know how to handle some adverse situations, in season with players, injuries. I mean, those are all those intangibles that kind of make up for winning at not just Sunday, but, you know, over 16 games and beyond.
Yeah, they are. And the one thing that people have to remember with regard to this search is that the guys coming in is not getting personnel control. And many head coaches, many experienced head coaches want that. And so that removes a certain segment of the coaching possibilities, the guys who want total control. Now, the young guys don't. Most of the cases, they're not that way. But there are going to be, you know, some guys who are just going to say, no, not unless I have control over the 53. So, you know, this week we've heard names already starting to, you know, people pushing certain people, pushing. We've heard columns about Josh McDaniel and Nick Saban. And Pat Fitzgerald. And, you know, it's pretty much going to happen every day now that we're going to hear from someone. I think Murphy will interview Pat Fitzgerald just from the curiosity standpoint. He hired him as football coach back in 2005,
yeah,
something like that. And so I think he will bring him in and interview him. But, you know, the meat of this search will come after the season's done.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, part of that timeline is also, you know, if they identify coordinators for playoff teams, there's rules for all that stuff. Look, you know, you go back to Mike McCarthy, 1 year as the OC in San Francisco and, you know, had some time in New Orleans. And you can recall that search, obviously, Tom, far more than I. You covered mm-hmm. it. My recollection upon reading those things was, you know, the quarterback savant, the creative offensive mind, a younger guy, a guy who could handle Brett Favre or rejuvenate him, however that was termed back then. I mean, mm-hmm. I think that's what you're looking for now. I don't know. I think the quote-unquote innovative offense or young guy, I don't think the team, if they do their due diligence, should pigeonhole themselves to those sort of buzzwords.
Yeah, I totally agree. And in fact, I wouldn't be against them hiring a defensive guy.
Right,
a defensive guy who has experience and knows offenses. Because who's better to pick an offensive staff than a guy who really knows the defenses around the NFL? I mean, you're seeing a lot of these guys, and I think defense is going to become really important because the Sean McVay offenses, the Kyle Shanahan offenses, someone's going to come up with a way to stop them. And then, you know, I think the defensive guy that can figure that out is going to be way ahead of the game. And if he's got a decent offense, a consistent offense, then you could win a Super Bowl doing that.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, who, you know, the head coach hire, you know, obviously runs a team, and then if it's a defensive guy, it's, you know, it's obviously who's the OC, who's the quarterback's coach. So you're right. I think, and look, all these guys are connected. They have their staffs, and, you know, it's sort of an interesting transition into Mike Pettine to a degree, Tom, because Mark Murphy kind of waved away any notion that Pettine was even in the running.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is because Mike Pettine has said, I don't know if I want to be a head coach.
Yeah, and reiterated that Thursday that he's really not thinking about being a head coach.
Yeah, anymore. And the reason I bring that up is because Mike Pettine has sort of laughed through this year, Tom. I think you even asked him this. Kyle Shanahan, John DeFilippo, he's hired these guys. So you mm-hmm. can, you know, be a defensive mind and still have the ability to identify offensive talent, to your point.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just have to bring in the right guys. It's true with offense. I mean, how long did it take McCarthy to get the defense right? You know, Capers had a couple of good years, but then he never got the defense right until this year. And then, of course, then he gets fired once right. he gets the defense right. So that's going to be really something to watch. I don't think the pool of candidates is all that great. I don't think there's like this slam dunk guy. I know people think Josh McDaniels, but I'm going to stay down on that guy. I still think that there's too much risk with a guy who stepped out of a position after he had accepted it, after the season had ended, you know? I mean, and just put the Colts and all these guys he had recruited as assistant coaches in just, you know, and selfishly returned, so or backed out of the job.
Yeah, no, that is an interesting one because it's, you know, that success in New England will always – it's like what's a greater stench, the success of Belichick in New England or the failure in Denver and then whatever happened with the Colts? I mean, I guess that's up to each owner, in this case CEO, to determine, you know, what is what. And
that's where you need Gutekunst to be out there figuring that out. Mark Murphy can't figure that out. I mean, he's not out talking to other assistant coaches. He might be talking to other owners, but those aren't the guys who really know football. They rely on their general managers.
Right. And what's interesting to kind of, you know, you're talking about what type of guy, and we mentioned these names. What I think is interesting, Tom, it's not just the offensive names. It's the Sean McVay made sure to get Wade Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Nagy and the Bears really tried hard to keep Vic Fangio. You've sort of seen this, like, old sage, proven coordinator on the one side if you're going to go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, it's trends. It's a copycat league. I'm curious, I guess, because, again, it's not like there's a whole lot of those guys either, sort of gurus. You know, maybe North Turner fits that way, on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting time, I guess, to fill out coaching staffs in this league because there's this weird evolutionary period where maybe you don't have enough of those 30-year-olds. I mean, look at this Packers coaching staff. You and I talked about this, you know, walking out of Lambeau one day of just, you know, just a dearth of young minds. It's not just in Green Bay. It's in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the balance of like the young coach that's ready? Like a McVay had 2 years of play calling experience.
Yeah. I don't think you want a passing fancy either. I still think that whatever these guys are doing, you know, adding the college thing, it's going to get figured out. And if you don't have a base to your offense that is consistent and allows you to run the ball and do certain things, then once someone catches up to you, it's like you're dead. And that's one of the things about McCarthy's offense that people never really gave him credit for was that it was stable. And every year it was going to be pretty productive. And as long as he had enough talent to run it, it was going to be able to take on any kind of defensive adjustments that anybody made. And now, you know, you'll see, I want to see whether the Rams guys, the 49ers, Doug Peterson, all those guys can maintain that consistency over time. And while, you know, McCarthy might have gotten stale or not had the talent he needed for that matchup offense, I still think the consistency was important.
Right. It's rooted in something. You know, it's not just, you know, motions and change of direction. I mean, look, Packers have the number 8 offense in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't score, can't convert on third down, but in terms of just moving the ball, you know, they've done that. So you're right, it's rooted in something, and that's and again, you know, we talked about this at one point too earlier in the year, Tom, where I said at some point players have to make plays, throws have to be made. So you know, that's Brian Gutekunst's job is to restock a roster that you know, as we've sort of discussed these last few weeks on this podcast, maybe not as it just wasn't as good.
But you know, and a new coach comes in, and then the talent's going to change again. You know, he's going to have to find some players that fit that guy's system.
Especially if, you know, we mentioned defense, if Mike Pettine, and he was, I thought, the answer rode the fence, but I thought it was a candid response when we asked him if he would stay as a defensive coordinator for a new coach. And he was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is, I think a real answer. It wasn't the way he answered it, I guess, Tom, was, I thought, genuine, because he came here for Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, someone else would have to want him and recruit him. But what if this new offensive coach, what if he believes in a 4-3?
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, this personnel has been 3-4 for how long?
Right.
That's hard to just switch to, you know, in a lot of ways. I mean, back end, I think you can do some of the same concepts with coverage. But Although it might help because you really don't have pass rushing outside linebackers.
Yeah. Defenses seem to be consistent in that, you know, they're all playing nickel.
That's
and that
true.
Turns down to
right.
becomes a four-man front and all of that.
I get
of
that,
stuff.
Yeah. But there's still some staples, I guess I'll say.
You know,
some guys who, you know, if they you know, the big. Either the big fat guys in the middle, mm-hmm. they want to go for that sort of three tech like Aaron Donald, like that sort of interior pass rusher that can win double teams.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
this is what we're going to be talking about, reporting about for next. You're right. Next could be 4 to 8 weeks if it's Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think we ought to take one last shot at. Evaluating or delving into the Aaron Rodgers issue, you know, as to what degree he's responsible for what's happened this year and whether he got McCarthy fired. He scoffed at that and continues to talk about the great relationship they had, but his play certainly doesn't back the thought about him playing, you know, like hand in hand with McCarthy, you know, that they were walking into the fields of daisies hand in hand, you know?
Yeah, Mark Murphy actually, I thought it was interesting that he made sure to specifically state Aaron Rodgers had nothing to do with the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly he knew at some point that question was going to be asked. What I thought was interesting with Aaron, and I think Aaron spoke for nearly 30 minutes in two different mm-hmm. media sessions this week. He seemed to get defensive about the relationship thing, going more and more into. But what I thought was interesting, and that may be true. You may have gone to his house and vice versa and done the family thing, and you may really call that person your friend. You may say, hey, hug you, I love you. But what he never said was, well, professionally, as head coach, play caller, and quarterback, mm-hmm. we got along or we were in
right.
sync. It was always a very personal.
Yeah.
Description of relationship.
Right. Not a professional relationship.
He never dove into it. Maybe that's our fault for not pressing and getting him out of that train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's clearly where the disconnect was.
Yes. It's been totally misrepresented that it's a personal thing. It's totally about football.
Right.
And their philosophies.
And, you know, and to some degree... You know, do they fire the head coach because of that? I don't believe that to be true, but it's clearly a big part of it because if there's a breakdown there, that tumbles into gameplay. It comes mm-hmm. to practice first and then gameplay. It's just you're not seeing eye to eye, and the execution, it's frankly harder to do.
Yeah, and I thought Petten made an interesting statement. He said that he would hope that the players don't play harder in this game against Atlanta because that means they've been holding stuff out in reserve, and that would be worse. So I think what Philbin's going for this week is playing better, just better all the way around, and I think Rodgers is going to have a lot to do with that, a lot. And I'm curious to see what he does.
Yeah, it's we touched on it to a degree this week. You know, what would it say about him if, you know, all of a sudden it's an 85% completion percentage and it looks fantastic. I mean, look, Atlanta is one of the worst ranked defenses in the league, but, you know, Arizona wasn't great.
Yeah.
A lot of these other teams, I don't think there's much about the opponent at this point that you can.
Matters, no.
No, it's, you know, I guess maybe in 2 weeks in Chicago if it's tremendous, that might say more.
If they can score 41 points on the Bears in Soldier Field, then okay, then we had something to say. But you know, right now, yeah, you make a great point. The Packers are playing against themselves right now. They're playing to play better than they've been playing, and I don't think they need to worry about the Falcons other than, you know, triple team Julio Jones, and that's about it. You know, the Falcons are neither here nor there. It's about their team.
Yeah, which will be interesting to see, again, how that reacts, especially it's offensively. I mean, Mike Pettine's dealt, and he's dealing with it again this week, Tom, with Kevin King goes on IR, his second, oh, by the way, second straight year, you know, he's down. You've got this, you've got more safeties and corners being claimed and added to the 53.
Yes.
and yet there they are giving up 17 to 23 points and in a position for their team to win. So you're right. It's definitely about the offense and Aaron Rodgers and how that group comes together and plays better.
Yeah. So we can just go over those roster moves if you haven't been following it this week. So Kevin King goes on IR. They apparently had a setback with his hamstring. I think they wanted to shut him down. Well, once he tweaked it again, they just said, forget it. I think he might need surgery on his other shoulder and get it now.
Just go,
you know, and worry about next year. We can talk all day about how, you know, whether they made a big mistake on taking him over T.J. Watt, and you know, everybody's got their opinion on that, and I will give it a third year to determine whether that's right. But T.J. Watt's out here, you know, can't see my hands, but, you know, and Kevin King's way back here. It's the jackrabbit against the hare right now. So we'll the tortoise, I mean. So we'll see how that winds up. But so he's gone. Trey Carson, the running back, IR.
Yep.
Right? And then they wind up claiming Jamerson from Nitrell Jamerson, the former Wisconsin defensive back, corner. I think some people like him as a safety. You talked to him, right?
Yeah.
What did he have to say?
Yeah, he's had a heck of a rookie season. Fifth round pick from the Saints.
Yeah.
Cut. And he said, no one really talked to me about that. They just cut me. Picked up right away by Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Played the last 11 weeks for the Texans. Safety. He said he did some nickel and practiced kind of all the DB positions, special teams mostly, and he said he was cut there or released. Numbers game. Obviously, the Texans have won 9 straight. They're trying to get healthy, and they had hoped to bring him back, but he actually visited the Packers in the pre-draft process.
Mm.
So there's a little insight there that Brian Gutekunst was clearly familiar with and liked.
Yeah.
Natrell Jamerson, so took that advantage. Also to round out the 53, add another defensive lineman. Forgive me on the pronunciation,
mm-hmm.
Fadol Brown.
Yeah, Fadol.
Yeah, from Oakland. So, I, you know, again, it's first-year player.
I saw him walk into practice Thursday late.
Yeah.
So he must have just arrived
in the
morning and passed his physical and came into practice while the other guys were still had already started.
Yeah, so it's
a good man.
Yeah, so, you know, and earlier, you know, in case you missed it and you care, safety Ibrahim Campbell also put on IR, and they brought up Kendall Donerson, 7th-round pick, yet another draft pick from this class to now be on the 53.
That's right. All but one draft pick is on the 53-man roster, and that's Cole Madison, who remains on the did-not report list. So, you know, I don't know if we'll see any of those guys. We probably won't. Jamerson could play some special teams.
Yeah.
From the injury standpoint, a couple of little things. Hunter Bradley hurt his foot in practice. I was watching. It was the last play of special teams while we were getting kicked out. And he was limping around and in really bad pain. And but didn't seem to think it was that big a deal, and then he was out on Thursday. So that could be troublesome.
Could be troublesome. Jake Kumerow really jammed or dislocated a knuckle, I guess.
I don't think it was serious.
Okay.
Yeah, I talked to him afterwards, and he had some tape on it and said he practiced just fine. So they didn't even put him on the injury report.
Right.
So, but that was a little bit of scare. I thought, geez,
it looked bad. Yeah, the way he came up,
or broke it, you know. But no, he seems to be okay.
Offensive line, Brian Bulagas, right tackle, still didn't practice. They added illness to this, so maybe it had less to do with the knee, but maybe he got sick. Byron Bell, knee, also did not practice. So, again, I mean, 2 weeks ago it was about Spriggs and McCray maybe on the left side, and now we're looking at potentially Joe Philbin's first game with with backup on the right side.
And I'm interested to see what he does if those two start. If he is more willing to give help than McCarthy would. McCarthy hated to give help. He did. I mean, he kept the back in whenever he could, but it wasn't, you know, consistent. And I wonder if Philbin would be more willing to, you know, help on the protection and keep Rodgers protected and try to keep him in the pocket a little longer. I don't know.
That's That'll all part of the interesting things about Sunday in terms of, again, less to do with Atlanta, more to do with what the Packers do offensively. And that I think that's one of them.
Yeah. I don't think there's a heck of a lot to talk about with this game coming up. You know, I mean, I don't think we need to waste any time talking about the matchups or Atlanta. I think we just need to see what a Joe Philbin offense looks like.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, Davante Adams echoed there's no magic pill. I mean, scheme isn't changing. You know, plays aren't changing. Those are all – whatever's going to be run has been run, or at least practiced. It's just a matter of what page, how deep does Joe Philbin go? What is he particularly like? And maybe, you know, if it's Jim Hossler, the pass game coordinator, James Campen, the run game coordinator, you know, maybe they've got packages or plays that they liked, you know, that Joe Philbin also agrees with, that maybe Mike McCarthy did. Now, I guess we'll never know that unless they – but those are – if you see differences, I think that's where you'd want to point to. It's not some special thing. It's more of, okay, this is this head coach and play caller, you know, flipping through different pages of the playbook.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm not sure we're going to pick a coach today, so you know, just hang on to your seats. It's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting ride. Just want to remind you that we're brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. You should come out and watch Leroy Butler and myself do 5 questions. And we do that Monday night beginning at, you can get autographs at 5:30 and we start about 6. Feel free to come in and say hello to both of us. We'd love to see you. This New Year's Eve, Milwaukee's biggest party is at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. A huge dance floor, the hottest DJs, 24/7 gaming, and more make this a night you cannot miss. Info and tickets are at mkenyeve.com. So, Jim, let's wrap it up. And we will talk to you after the Atlanta game on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll see. I doubt it'll be as exciting as the end of the Arizona game last week.
Yeah. Well, let's hope not. All right. See you next time.
See you then.